unique event in Edmonton, Project Shine, the Experience Leap. And they will have some big speakers in town for business people. If you're looking just to kind of how to get ahead, some inspiration, they've got guys like Jeremy Gucci is in. They've got Drew Dudley coming in. Amanda Lindhout is in. Dr. John Izzo. And a gentleman you know very well. He's in the Hall of Fame. The greatest punt returner ever. And a guy who is still very dedicated to staying in shape and has overcome many obstacles in his life. Henry Gizmo Williams, one of the all-time fan favorites for the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us now. Giz, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Enjoying the weather outside. I think I'm going to go outside and put my suntan lotion on because it's a little bit warm for me.
I was just saying that you're likely probably wearing a muscle shirt today.
Oh, every day. You know me. I got to wear one every day.
Now, for you, you're going to be one of the select five speakers. What's your message going to be on Monday?
My message is going to be overcoming challenges. And one of the reasons why I like to talk about that is that I lost so many people in my family. I'm the only one still living out of 11 people in my family through MS and through drugs. And I had a brother shot. So I'm the only one still living, and it's very important for me to help to get to people to understand that life goes on no matter what happened. And also try to put some in some people's hearts that for you to move on, you got to let things go. And I think one of the biggest things that helped me move on in life is that I had to let a lot of those things, you know, not to really think about my mother and father, you know, dying and everybody in my family, and for me to move on in life. So I want to talk about how to overcome those challenges and how what kept my spirit up all the time.
What did keep your spirit up, Henry?
It's so many different things. You know, one of the things I had, you know, I had my football team there all the time with me, the guys on the football team, and it was one of those things where I played so hard all the time because I had so much desire inside of me, so much anger inside of me that when I got on the football field, I could take it out on the football field. I couldn't take it out on anybody else. But I had a lot of support from my friends, had a lot of support from my cousins, you know, and people all around me when they hear my stories, they always talk about, man, I can't believe how you made it through. And those are the kind of things that kept me going. Also, things that really keep me going, I like to watch Special Olympics and stuff like that because Special Olympics give me something to shoot for. I went through a lot through my life, but when you watch physical challenge people like Special Olympics, all they want to do is win the race. If you ever watch the winner and you watch the loser, you watch the loser, you think he won the race, and that's what I want to talk about a lot.
Henry Gizmo Williams joins us. Henry, you were born in 1962. Your mother passed away when you were very young in December of 69 from MS. And then unfortunately, when you were six, then your father passed away the next December in a house fire. Your older brother, Edgar, really was kind of, I guess, the one who raised you. How did that impact your life when you look back at such a, I can't even imagine being six and seven, losing both your parents, and then unfortunately your brother Edgar ended up passing away and an aunt had to raise you. How did that mold you to the person you are today? You talked about anger. Is that what drove you? Was anger or, you know, love must have played a part in it at some point.
No, what drove me, some of the things that drove me in life too, I knew I had to. First of all, coming from Memphis, Tennessee, being a black person, I always speak about this a lot of times, is that we had, living down south, you had two strikes against you. If you didn't get an education and the color of your skin. So first of all, I had to decide I want to get an education first so I can learn how to move on in life. Second, I just wanted to find out what was the best thing for me in life. I didn't know whether I was going to be a policeman, a doctor, a fireman, a lawyer, whatever. I didn't know I was going to be a professional athlete because growing up in the ghetto, you know, you watch all these guys with guns breaking in and stuff all the time. And I had no really, my only role model was my brother. And when he passed at the age of 32, you know, when I'm asked, that was my father. My brother and his wife was my mother and father when you come look at it. And his role model when we was growing up as a kid was, he always wanted us to have respect for other people. That was one of the things that he taught us all the time, have respect. No matter what it is or wherever you go, respect. You don't owe nobody nothing, but you owe it. Each and everyone owed each other respect. And I think that's one of the things that kept me going in life, too.
Henry Gizmo Williams joins us. When did you get the football bug? I'm not sure I've ever asked you that. When did you start playing football? And when did you know that football was maybe a path for you out of the hood and everywhere else?
Well, because everybody got a God-given talent, and I realized that. I'll never forget when my brother, before he got sick with MS real bad, he was saying he wanted to send me to college, and I'll never forget when I found out that if I play good enough in high school, I can win a scholarship and he won't have to pay none. And I remember him trying to save money for me to go to college. I said, don't worry about it. I'm gonna make it where I can go to school free. And he still was trying to save up money for it. And I'll never forget, I got the opportunity to go. And that's why I said, it's a God-given talent. You use whatever you have. And with that God-given talent, it gave me a chance to go to school and get an education and didn't have to pay none. So football was one of those things where it kept me going. And a lot of people thought I wasn't going to make it because I was too small. You know, I was only probably about 5'3" at the time going to school. And they thought I'd never make it in a big university, you know, in North Carolina, East Carolina University. So it was all the odds still going against me. But I didn't play football or play sports to prove to someone that I can do it. I did it because that's what I wanted to do in life. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You don't do things because somebody else wants you to do it, because when you do it, when somebody else wants to do it, when you quit, you're going to blame them for it. I want you to go out there and do it for you. So if I quit, I want to quit for me. And that's what I want to do. I want to play the game because I love the game of football. And I didn't care what it took to get me there. You know, being small, I got turned down by a lot of schools and everything. And then I finally got this one coach came out. He said, I don't care how small you are. If you got a heart big enough, we're going to take you. And that's why I went to East Carolina.
Gizmo Williams joins us. He will be one of the five main speakers this coming Monday. A very unique event coming to Edmonton, Project Shine. It's Experience on Leap, and they have a lot of motivational speakers about business and life and how to overcome things. And, of course, Henry's story is something I think a lot of people, some people know about it, but I'm not sure many knew just, you know, how devastating multiple sclerosis was for your family, starting with your mother, and I think 7 of your 10 siblings passed away from it, Henry. And I know you're still in unbelievable shape. Like, it's ridiculous when people see you, and that still motivates you, right? A little bit of fear, because you don't want to stop working out and have MS get you, right?
Yeah, you know, I know I'm gonna get a chance to talk about it on stage, and I always explain to people, I'm gonna say it again coming up Monday. People ask me, are you scared and about MS or whatever? To tell you the truth, I really don't know if I'm scared or I'm just fear to go get checked for it. I just feel like that I don't want that burden. I'm the kind of person, I don't like to live in the past.
Okay.
So I like to keep moving forward. So if there was a cure for it, I'd be the first one to go get checked for it. For right now, I know there's no cure for it. So ain't nothing I can do, and I don't want to put that burden. I don't want to have nothing to worry about that I can't control. And that's the most important thing in life. Don't worry about things that you can't control. Worry about the things that you can control. So I'm going to be speaking a little bit about that too. So when they ask me the question, am I scared of it? Right now, I can't say I am. I can't say I'm not. So I really don't know. All I know, MS is a muscle disease, and also I'm a personal trainer. I know what muscles do. You have to train yourself. You have to eat right. So those are the kind of things I try to do to keep myself going all the time. Right now I feel okay, so I already tell everybody I'm going to live until I'm 110 years old. That's when I'm going to die.
Hey, that's great. Now, how many hours you work out a day?
It might look like it a lot, but I only work out an hour and a half,
okay.
About an hour and 15 minutes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I run on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Run on Tuesday. Now, when you work out, are you training power, strength, or just maintenance?
I'm doing more. I have one day of a month where I do strength training. Everything else is just under control. I like to do a circuit training where I work all my muscles in one day. I do upper body one day, and I do lower body the next day, and I do my condition after that. So what I'm trying to do now, I do more of a maintaining. Sometimes once a month I might go a little bit heavy, but I just try to keep myself more in just condition shape now.
Now, how did you get involved with Project Leap, Giz? Were you surprised when they came to you? You know, a guy, or did you expect them to come to you? What are you expecting about this experience? And do you have the opportunity to listen to some of the other guest speakers?
Yes, I might have opportunity. I think one of the guys, the doctor, I think spoke with me and him. Me and him spoke together in BAMP once. I don't really remember talking to him because I had left earlier, but I remember seeing him there. But everyone else, I'm very excited to speak, especially the young lady who had that big problem in Somalia and the other guy that come on stage. The most important thing I want people to come to get understanding, you're going to learn a lot about a lot of different people. You're going to learn that there's people going through a lot of challenges. You're going to learn that people going through business opportunities and problem stuff. You're going to learn a whole lot of different things. It's not about just coming out, you know, say, what I'm going to get out of it. When you leave this thing here, I guarantee you're going to leave with a different perspective of life. I guarantee you that.
When you look back on your career, was there a coach or a teammate that really, you know, inspired you even more to keep pushing yourself to ensure that you maximized your God-given talent?
It wasn't just all my coach. It was a lot of guys. It was so many other guys. You know, when you do something as a team, like I speak on this too, when I went in the Hall of Fame in 2006, and I think I said it on TV, that was one of the most selfish awards that I ever won in my life, because I know for a fact the only reason I went in the Hall of Fame because all the other guys that I played with. I mean, true enough, yes, I had God-given talent too, but I would have never done this without all those other guys that I played football with. So when I went in the Hall of Fame, the first thing I said, I want to thank all the guys that gave me an opportunity to come here to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm accepting this award for probably about 300 guys that I played with over my 18 years. So that was one of the most important things I like to talk about too.
Now, Giz, has Jed Roberts drawn a caricature of you anytime recently?
He hasn't drawn that yet, but he still give me a call and talk about things, and he keep me in touch sometimes. He'll send me some funny pictures and funny jokes all the time. Yeah, Jed was one of my, just like a brother to me. That's the kind of thing, you know, people ask me now. They say, Giz, you miss football? No, I did everything that the good Lord gave me the opportunity to do, to enjoy the game, to break records, and stay healthy. But what I mostly miss, I miss my friends. I miss the camaraderie of being in the locker room. I miss the joke, and I miss the traveling with the football players. Those are things I miss. I played long enough where I ain't got to sit at home and say, oh, I wish I could have done that. I could have done that. I've done those things. But one thing you'll never get back, I never get that opportunity to have Jed draw me on the wall again, or going outside with a skirt on with the boys during Halloween night. You know, we did all kind of, those are the kind of things I miss, and I really enjoyed it, because for 18 years in professional football, that's some of the things that kept me going in life, and it kept my life, you know, in perspective. It kept me understanding that, Henry, life goes on no matter what happened. Every time I get down on myself, nobody never knew it, because I never shown it, but when I go in that locker room, it's like spirit, you know, man, these guys behind me no matter what, and that's what kept me going a lot.
Henry Gizmo Williams joins us. He will be speaking. There are a few tickets remaining this coming Monday on Leap here. Of course, it's Project Shine, the Experience Leap. Some great people talking to you about how it relates to business and just overcoming things, and how you. And I loved your words earlier, Henry, how when you have that talent, you don't want to waste it. Everybody's got a God-given talent, and you got to make sure that you take advantage of whichever your talent is, and we all have different ones. And speaking of different, a lot of your former teammates talked about that you were such an energetic guy, you know, maybe always upbeat and firing guy. Who are the guys that maybe you felt over your career matched your energy? Who are some of your teammates that got you going with their passion and excitement?
Jed was one of them. Jed was one of the guys that got me going a lot. Also, Willie Press was, Willie was a quiet guy. He's one of my closest friends, too. Willie Press was really quiet, but he did it in a quiet way. He wasn't a loud guy, you know what I'm saying? He was one of those guys. He did it. He made everything happen. He was one of those guys that you didn't see him do things, but he really was a good leader, too. We had a lot of guys, you know, like Danny Bass, Hector Partier. I can go on, you know, name guys, Larry Ruck, you know, some of the guys that played on defense when I first got here that taught me some of the things that I knew. And Brian Kelly, when I played with Brian Kelly, he was here. I'll never forget him telling me how to keep myself in shape and, you know, don't worry about, you know, if it's a game we lost or something, he always said, don't take it too hard. You already got next week. And I never forget the one thing when I learned about going to all the Grey Cups. Oh. Nothing better than winning the Grey. It's just a regular game if you don't win it.
Yeah, that's true. When you're there, you definitely want to win it. Eskimo fans, still one of their most memorable games ever, 1987, the Grey Cup in BC, when you returned for the touchdown, you know, one of the longest plays, one of the greatest plays in Eskimo history. Damon Allen was great that year as well for the quarterback. Henry, one last one for you. In your career now, and you go and you talk to a lot of people, and I think it's some people can't necessarily relate to your childhood because, you know, the very few people grow up in that tough of an area, especially in Canada for the most part. How have you found that it doesn't matter what type of, you know, demographic you were raised, how do you connect with everybody?
My connecting with everybody, I start off by talking about believing in yourself first. You got to find out what you want, what things you want to go in life, how you want to do things in life. You have to start thinking about where I want to be at, you know, who I want to be around, the people that, you know, that I can trust. You got to find out those things first. And then the most important thing, you got to find out about who you are. Am I the person that want to be or what I want to be? And you got to have confidence in yourself. Like everybody always talk about, you know, I hate when guys talk about what they did in their career, this and that. when I was on the football field, you know, I was one of the greatest punt returner ever played. And the reason I played so good, I had confidence in myself. I believed in myself. When I walked on the football field, I believed I could score a touchdown every time I got on the football field. I remember Brian Hall used to ask me the question all the time. He said, Henry Williams, you just ran 100 yards. Did you think you can do it? And I said, Brian, if I didn't think I can do it, I wouldn't want to be out there. I didn't want to just be an average person. I want to be a person where I can help somebody get to the next level. My teammates, they counted on me. I counted on them. So you have to believe in yourself. And the most important thing, you can't let nobody take away from who you are. I don't care if you're white, black, red, Chinese, whatever. You can't let no one take away the person that you are, because you're always going to be that person no matter what. And they're going to have to accept you who you are. And that's what I learned. What it is, I don't care how tough it was when I was growing up. I'm not living in the past. I don't live in the past. I hate really even going back in the past, but I have to go back to it sometime to talk about so I can let people understand where I come from. But the most important thing, you have to move on in life. Until you learn how to let go of those things behind you, you're never going to make it farther in life. And don't blame nobody else. Blame yourself.
Henry, it's great advice, man. I'm disappointed that I'm busy on Monday with trade deadline day, because I would love to be down there and listening to you and all the other guest speakers. Sounds like it's a great event. Always good to catch up with you. We'll hope to talk soon.
All right, buddy. When you go to the trade thing, make sure we get a big defense, my guy, okay?
You're smart, Henry. I love it. The Winter fans, they know you're on the ball. It's excellent. Appreciate your time.